This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Iraq's former Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz has now surrendered to U.S. officials. He's the most senior member of Saddam Hussein's former government so far to be taken into custody by the United States within Iraq. Aziz was often the public face of the former Baghdad government and traveled the world, even often here to the United States for meetings at the United Nations. He was also actually the only Christian in Saddam Hussein's inner circle. As we hear now from correspondent Simon Marks, military insiders are hoping Aziz's surrender will provide them with information on still missing members of the former Iraqi government.
He is a man extremely close to the Iraqi leadership. It will be fascinating to find out where he has been for the course of the past 3 weeks since he disappeared from view in Baghdad. Fascinating, too, to discover whether he has any information on the whereabouts of Saddam Hussein, his two sons, Uday and Qusay, and other members of the Iraqi leadership who remain on the U.S. wanted list. So this apparent surrender by Tariq Aziz to U.S. forces, a very major acquisition by the United States, giving U.S. officials an opportunity now to answer some of the questions that remain open in Iraq about exactly what happened to the Iraqi leadership and exactly where they may now be located. Simon Marks, Amman.
President Bush, meanwhile, says there is, quote, some evidence suggesting Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein is dead or at least seriously injured, but he adds a lot more evidence will be needed before a declaration about his fate is made. President also told NBC News earlier the threat of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq was not overstated before the war.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I think time and investigation will prove a couple of points. One, that he did have terrorist connections. And secondly, we also know there are hundreds and hundreds of sites available for hiding the weapons, and that we've only looked at about 90 of those sites so far.
President Bush's entire interview will air tonight on NBC's Dateline, the time, 9 o'clock Eastern.
I may be pregnant, but my period stays away.
I want to know.
With First Response Early Result Pregnancy Test, used as directed, she could get results up to 4 days sooner than other leading brands. And now, results are even clearer with an easy-read result line.
I want to know now.
First Response. Results 4 days sooner.
See doctor as recommended. 52% get results 4 days sooner. 86% 2 days sooner. Use as directed.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
AMR Corporation, the parent company of American Airlines, could still file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection within the next several days. Sources familiar with the company's financial troubles say that decision depends on the airline's flight attendants, who have been reluctant to endorse deep pay cuts, accepting those concessions. The U.S. government has now been ordered to turn over a top-secret document to accused September 11th conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui. That federal judge's ruling resolves a dispute over Moussaoui's access to another suspected al-Qaeda member who is believed to have helped mastermind those terrorist attacks.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, you're back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
The U.S., North Korea, and China all agreeing they are off to a, quote, good beginning after 3 days of talks over the current nuclear impasse on the Korean Peninsula. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Li Jingchao says the meetings are in the start of a, quote, process leading to the settlement of the North Korea nuclear issue. He also said there could be hope for more future talks.
All the parties agreed to further study the positions of other sides and liaise through diplomatic channels on furthering the Beijing talks.
Those closed-door meetings ended with a handshake between U.S. Assistant Secretary of State James Kelly, the North Korean negotiator, and the leader of the Chinese delegation. Jingchao added all the parties had achieved better understanding of their positions and, quote, demonstrated their desire for a peaceful settlement of the issue. And the World Health Organization is refusing to lift its warning for travel to Toronto over SARS concerns, despite objections from the Canadian government. SARS has so far claimed 16 lives in the Toronto area. This is the only place outside Asia where people actually died from the contagious ailments. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power spark plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power spark plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclists, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheel vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're broadcasting on stations from the West Coast to the East on the Sirius satellite from the depths of outer space, beaming down from the Arctic Circle to the equator, and live on the Internet on IEAmerica.com, www.IEAmericaRadio.com, excuse me, and with a link from TomHartman.com. And also the show is archived and will be replayed from 5 to 7 on the web at radiopower.org, www.radiopower.org. So, welcome to the show. It's Friday. On Fridays, we're going to recap the week, and we're also going to take your calls just pretty much on any topic at all. If you want to talk, if there's anything that you want to talk about, anything we've talked about during the week, or anything else, anything of interest, and we'll go with it. So to start out, looking back at what we covered throughout the week earlier on, one of the things that we'd raised, not only am I revisiting the stories, but also bringing you up to date on what's happened since we first talked about them. This is an opportunity to sometimes dig a little more deeply into some of these topics than we had time to originally. The whole issue of economics, the hook on this story was really the American Airlines pilot's deal, where the CEO of American Airlines had said to the flight attendants union, we're going to have shared sacrifice here. We're going to give up, and you guys give up, and everything's going to be fine. And it turns out that actually as of January 1st, I believe, this is what I understand from reading the story in today's Wall Street Journal, as of the first of the year, AMR was required by law to file a paper with the Securities and Exchange Commission that talked about or that disclosed any kind of compensation agreements that they had with their executives. And they got a special permission to postpone filing this thing until after this vote. And they had to file it after the vote was taken. And so they filed it the night after the last flight attendant's vote. But that vote lost. And so then the next day was the big vote, and that vote succeeded. But the filing came out. And so their little secret came out. By the way, if you want to call the Tom Hartman program here on IE America Radio, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And so this is, you know, on its face, of course, a real problem. Today, Carty, the CEO, lost his job, or I guess it was yesterday, at American Airlines. But the executive pension plan, you know, he said, well, okay, you caught us with our hands in the cookie jar. Sorry, 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 you know, and he apologized about a dozen times and sort of made it sound like they were making everything right. But the executive pension plan is still protected. And this is not something that is unique to American Airlines. We discovered there's an interesting story in today's Wall Street Journal. It starts out, and you know, keep in mind, when you're reading something in the Wall Street Journal or in Forbes or in Fortune, Barron's, Business Week, these are the corporate aristocracy talking to itself. This is, you know, you very rarely, it's interesting, you very rarely find stories in there going, oh, isn't it terrible how we're trashing labor? And yet, at the same time, there's a lot of backpatting. You know, unemployment goes up and you'll find articles about, well, this is really good for companies because workers are now more desperate for jobs and that will reduce what they call wage inflation, which is a slick way of saying we can pay people less, we can make more profits, we can spread more money around among the executives. Anyhow, the Wall Street Journal article today, quote, a number of large companies are setting aside millions of dollars to protect pensions of top executives, even as they forego contributions to financially strained pension plans for other workers. And they point out in this article that it's not just AMR, that's the American Airlines parent corporation, Delta and United, that there are other companies, Motorola, Owings Illinois, TSU, Altria Group, which used to be Philip Morris, the big tobacco company, owns Kraft Foods and whatnot, and Abbott Laboratories. All of these companies have special deals where if the corporation goes into bankruptcy, their senior executives all get their pensions. They've got them as separate funds that are independent from the actual corporation, from the corporate entity. They create a separate, it's like creating a non-profit corporation. Well, they actually create a trust fund, and that's immune from bankruptcy. The article goes on to say, this practice illustrates the growing gap in retirement security between employees and those at the very top. As senior executives rely more on their special pensions, they have less incentive to ensure that the regular pension plan offers adequate benefits or is adequately funded. Executive special pensions also are increasingly being sheltered from their company's financial troubles, even including bankruptcy. And then they talk about how Motorola, which has 70,000 employees and retirees, that their pension plan is underfunded by $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion. It's underfunded. And then they say, although Motorola didn't add any money to help bridge this gap, the company did distribute $38 million to a special pension fund with assets of $135 million for an undisclosed number of top executives. And they talk about Fortune Brands Incorporated, the company that makes Master Lock and Jim Beam Bourbon. And they say they, quote, provide four top executives, including Chairman and Chief Executive Norman Wesley, with secured trusts for their special retirement benefits. And, oh, it's incredible. Fortune Brands, their regular pension fund is underfunded by $226 million, which is 27% and exceeds industry standards. So, Fortune Brands, Owens, Illinois, another one, a container maker in Toledo, they spent $290,169 last year to pay the taxes due on pension contributions for their chairman and CEO, Joseph Lemieux, which went into a special trust on his behalf. And the story wraps up. However, filings show that the company contributed nothing to its pension plan for regular employees and retirees in 2002, although the plan is underfunded by $269 million, with total obligations of $2.7 billion. In other words, Owens, Illinois' 32,000 workers, their pension fund, when they say a pension fund is underfunded, it's a fancy way of saying there's not enough money in it to pay these people. And if we go bankrupt, they're out. They're out of luck. They're out in the cold. But the CEOs, We're going to make sure that their income is well covered. No problem for them. And here's, you know, just interesting. The today's average CEO, this is from Businessweek magazine. Today's average CEO makes around 531 times the average hourly worker's pay, versus 85 times in 1990 and 42 times in 1980. Now, you hear so much from the folks on the extreme right, the neocons, you know, I don't think you would have heard this from Barry Goldwater or Dwight Eisenhower, who were quite content with the system where, in fact, the top tax rate was 90% back when these guys were in office. But you hear so much from these folks who say, well, they earned that money. Those rich people, they earned it. They should keep it. They should keep, you know, the same percentage as everybody else. Well, there's two fatal flaws. One is an absolute flat-out lie in this logic. The first is that they earned it. I would love to hear if any callers out there at 1-800-TALK-YES, that's 1-800-825-5937, can tell me how it is that somebody can work. Like, say you got somebody working on an assembly line, and they're making whatever they're making. You know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 a year, whatever their job may be. They're making a middle-class income. And then there's somebody else who is in senior management, and they're making $100 million a year. Is that person really working 1,000 times harder than that person on the line? Is that even imaginable? I don't think so. It's inconceivable to me. And this is why in the military and in civil service and in universities, there's this maximum 20-to-1 pay ratio between the most lowly paid person and the most highly paid. And it's what we were trying to achieve in the United States in the 1930s when this very progressive tax, income tax, was put into place with a 90% top rate and was kept there until Kennedy came along. And during that period of time, we had the largest steady and consistent growth of the middle class and the healthiest economy in the United States from the mid-30s to the late 60s in history. Absolutely in history. So that's you know, one fallacy is, oh, well, you know, they earned it, they should keep it. Well, you know, somebody has a special deal with somebody, somebody knows somebody, somebody went, you know. Yeah, that's not earning money, in my opinion. And the second is that poor people are paying less taxes than wealthy people. When you look at the reality of the situation, what you find is that the way the neocons are spinning this is by using income tax. This is a phony argument. Income tax is something that you pay on your first $81,500, maybe it's $84,500 of income. And after that, the payroll tax, the FICA tax, you pay on your first $81,000 of income. And after that, you only pay income tax. So income tax is something that is paid by the very wealthy, no matter how much they make. But working people are paying taxes. They're also paying the payroll tax. They're also paying sales taxes. They're also paying, you know, there's this whole variety of taxes. And when you aggregate these, this is a study done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, okay, the Consumer Expenditure Study. They found that the poorest fifth, they divided the United States into five quintiles, five fifths. The poorest fifth, with an average income of $7,946, has a cumulative tax rate of 18%. 18% of their income they pay in taxes. It includes payroll taxes, sales tax, even though they're paying very little income tax. The richest fifth, with an average income of $116,666, pays 19% in cumulative taxes. The percentages for the three middle quintiles are 14%, 16%, and 17%. So right now, we have a taxation system where pretty much everybody's paying the same. This idea that, you know, we got to cut the taxes on the top because they're paying too much, it's nonsense. Well, we'll continue with this conversation. 1-800-TALK-YES, if you want to call. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
Sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please hang up.
Having a hard time connecting with someone who cares? Try the Boys Town National Hotline at 1-800-448-3000. They'll be there to help you when you need it the most, 24 hours a day. They'll even pay for the call. Simply call 1-800-448-3000.
Boys Town National Hotline, how can I help?
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. And we're talking about executive pay, corporations running the world, the demise of democracy, in the process and how this all came about. It all happened, really. It started back in 1950. Harry Truman signed the Revenue Act of 1950 on September 23rd, and that made it legal for companies to pay their employees with something other than money, something called a stock option. And according to an article in Fortune magazine, thus began the madness. And they say it wasn't always so. Through the 50s and 60s and part of the 70s, CEO pay actually grew more slowly than the pay of average workers. And during that time, the Standard & Poor 500 advanced 11.3% on average in the low inflation era from the 1940s to 1964. The golden age ended abruptly when stocks entered a long coma in 1964. This followed John Kennedy's first cut in the income tax. And then it happened again in the 1980s. And they go on and they say today's option culture began in the 1980s. And then in 1993, Congress tried to do something about it by capping executive pay at $1 million that could be tax deductible. But they didn't do anything about options. So now we have a situation where, for example, last year, Oracle Corporation's CEO, Larry Ellison, he made $706.1 million. And, you know, wow, right? CEOs, on it goes. I don't want to just, you know, rant on about folks making a lot of money. Because fundamentally, I'm not opposed to people making money. I've made money in my lifetime, and I think all of us would like to make money. The question is, how does our taxation system serve democracy? And my suggestion is that a strong middle class is more important and more vital to democracy than the uprising of an upper class, financially speaking, that actually ends up seizing control of the government. We have an interesting, just a little tiny story in today's Wall Street Journal. Big business moves on safety concerns. The Business Roundtable, this is the organization that John Snow was the head of, and he's now our Treasury Secretary. This is a group of the 100 or 150 CEOs of the largest corporations in America. And it's sort of become a shadow government in this Republican administration. The Business Roundtable urges members to step up security with standardized board procedures to protect employees and facilities. The Roundtable has opened a secure hotline linking 150 chief executives with Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge. He's used this to convey terror alerts. The CEOs also took part in war game scenarios featuring bioweapons and cyber attacks. We have, it's like a particular, you know, speaking of class warfare, as the neocons like to say, oh, those liberals, they want to talk about class warfare. I would say that the class warfare is real, and it's been going on for some time. So how did this, you know, this economics? Next week, we're going to have Alan Smith on, and he wrote a book called The Alleged Budget Surplus. And he talks about how this came about. He says, and he's a PhD economist. He says, most professional economists had never heard the term supply-side economics until Ronald Reagan announced his support for it in the 1980 primary campaign. And then he goes on to say there's a good reason for this. The theory came out of nowhere. Robert Mary and Kenneth Bacon wrote in a February 18, 1981 Wall Street Journal article about it. They said, quote, capturing the executive branch of government was an amazing victory for the supply side movement, which hardly existed a mere 8 years ago. And so it was. Never before had an economic theory so new, so untested, and with so little support from economists as a whole been accepted and pushed. And he talks about how it happened. You know, Kemp came out with his tax breaks, and on it went, this 30% tax cut, which led to a huge recession. We'll be back after the break at the bottom of the hour here. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, you're back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The Association of Professional Flight Attendants plans to hold a third vote on $340 million worth of wage and benefit concessions to American Airlines. The first vote held last week saw the flight attendants reject the plan. A second vote a day later approved the give-back package. But when American unveiled the bonus and pension protection plan for its executives after its unions had agreed to cuts, APFA President John Ward shed the air of diplomacy. In a message to the flight attendants, Ward says another vote is contentious, but Americans' duplicity in asking for sacrifices from its workers on one hand while fattening management on the other is beyond the bounds of decency.
Management would love nothing more than to bust this union. Let's not permit ourselves to do it for them.
Over the weekend, American CEO Don Carty canceled the planned executive bonuses and sent a letter of apology to the unions. No word on when this third vote will be scheduled. The airline could file for bankruptcy at any time, regardless of what the flight attendants do.
The McDonald's Corporation takes over as lead concessionaire at a $200 million terminal opening this week at the Bradley International Airport in Hartford, Connecticut. And the fast food giant is eager to shake loose of the union representing workers at the old terminal. A state law passed last year obliges Mickey D's managers to hire employees of the previous concessionaire for at least 90 days, but a loophole would allow McDonald's to bypass the rule. A bill before the state Senate would shore up the loophole and give senior workers first crack at jobs in the new food court, but that's apparently too much for McDonald's to swallow. The company has hinted it may cancel its contract with the airport if the law is passed. Meanwhile, about 100 workers with as much as 30 years on the job could well be out of work, and if they are rehired, it'll be to a non-union position with significantly lower wages and benefits.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on the Sirius satellite, on the internet, and on terrestrial radio stations. We're talking about economics here, just wrapping this up. Our phone number, if you'd like to call in and talk on the show, and I encourage people who disagree with me to call also. I'd love to hear dissenting opinions. It'd be interesting to get into a conversation with somebody who strongly defends the status quo, as it were. The number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937 to call in and talk on the show. We were just wrapping this thing up with the, you know, what happened with the Reagan tax cut. Reagan had promised in 1980 that if he could get his 30% tax cut, a big tax cut for the wealthiest in America, dropping the marginal tax rate, Kennedy had dropped it from 90% to around 70%, as I recall, and that led to a crash in the stock market in 64 that it took almost a decade for the economy to recover from, although it substantially increased with the wealth of people. Reagan said that if his tax cut, which would take the marginal rate down into the, as I recall, the high 30s or low 40s, the top rate, This is for the taxes that are paid beyond FICA and all the other taxes. This is really for the those people who are earning over $100,000 or over $200,000 or over $1 million a year. It becomes very big money, very substantial. These are the taxes that most affect multimillionaires like George Bush and Dick Cheney and Jon Snow and the members of his administration. If Reagan said, if we could do this, that he would balance the budget in 4 years and that he would revive the economy. And it had never been tried before. It flew in the face of classic economic theory. His advisors, his Council of Economic Advisors, unanimously opposed it. He had to fire three different economic advisors to get somebody who would go along with this idea. Finally, they pushed it through in 1982, and he said that this would reduce inflation and increase the economy and balance the budget by 84. Well, in fact, inflation did go down, but it went down because the civilian unemployment rate climbed to 10.7%. in December of 1982, the highest rate since the Great Depression. Millions of Americans lost their job. And the average unemployment rate, the civilian unemployment rate, remained above 9.5% for the next 3 years. And as the economy slowly recovered, Reagan was saying, well, this slow recovery is the result of the, you know, what I did that was so wise to make this, you know, this tax cut. But let's quote Alan Smith here. He says, a huge cloud hung over the optimism because of the unprecedented size of the federal budget deficits and the rapid growth in the national debt. A president who had promised that his policies would lead to a balanced budget in 84 instead gave us record budget deficits and a doubling of the national debt in just 6 years. The Reagan administration added more to the national debt in 6 years than all the other presidents in history combined, from George Washington through Jimmy Carter, had added in more than 200 years. The federal budget deficit soared from $73.8 billion in fiscal 1980 to a record $221.2 billion in fiscal 1986. And so we see that, you know, the voodoo economics, to use the phrase of George Herbert Walker Bush, the elder George Bush, he was spot on. He was right. And now today, in the Wall Street Journal, there's an interesting article, just a little piece. I think I've lost it. Anyway, what it said was that the Bush tax cuts are expected to produce a half-point increase in the inflation rate and in interest rates. Because what happens is the government has to go out and borrow money to make that up. They have to, you know, it's not like there's free money out there. It's when we run surpluses and deficits, we have to borrow to make it up. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number here on the Tom Hartman radio program. Some of our quotes from earlier in the week, Thomas Jefferson, the care of human life and happiness and not their destruction is the first and only object of good government. That we have a government that has a commitment, an obligation to its people. Just a couple of interesting little things in today's news. I wanted to share these with you. We had, you know, earlier in the week we had talked about health and the health crises of America in one of our segments. This is today from the Associated Press. Losing weight could prevent one of every six cancer deaths in the United States. Now, this is the result of a study done by the American Cancer Society. They took 16 years and evaluated 900,000 people who were cancer-free when the study began in 1982. And they concluded that excess weight accounted for 14% of cancer deaths in men and 20% in women. So just, you know, something to think about. Get out there and walk. Of course, we were talking about how we're not designing our cities to make them easily walkable anymore. It's a bit of a problem. We got Tony in Washington, D.C. on the line. Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you. Thank you for your even-handed analysis. It's almost like I'm going to get out my history books and, you know, say, gee, why haven't they told me this while I was learning economics in high school and in college? But thank you so much. I just want to understand how in the world Mr. Bush said this is supposed to be a growth and opportunity option for him or Bill if they give a tax cut. But isn't that predicated on the benevolence of the ruling class or the people who make up most of the wealth class in this country to make jobs? I mean, it's not saying we're going to mandate this to say that company or IBM is going to get a big tax cut, and all of a sudden, boom, we're going to go ahead and create jobs.
Yeah, it's actually, there's two predicating assumptions in there, that both of which are in question. And interestingly, it was George Bush Sr. who questioned them during the campaign when he called Reaganomics voodoo economics, you know, referring to this kind of economics that his son is trying to foist upon the American public. And he actually raised taxes to try to undo the damage, which helped lower the budget deficits and led to part of the recovery that happened during the Clinton administration. But the two assumptions are, number one, what David Stockman said. After Reagan had fired his over and over and over again, he finally got somebody who would kind of toady up to his economic policies. And Stockman, who was a former congressman and was not an economist, said that this was really a revival of what used to be called trickle-down economics, which is, as the rich get richer, they will, you know, the crumbs will fall off their table, and those crumbs will benefit the rest of us.
You mean the Lazarus syndrome?
Yeah, there you go.
Just dip your hand into the water.
Yeah, there you go. And then the other thing about, you know, well, if we have these tax cuts for the very rich, then that will encourage corporations to create jobs. It doesn't make any sense. Jobs are created in response to demand. IBM is not going to go out and say, gee, we just got a $100 billion tax break. Let's make some jobs. No, they make jobs because people want to buy more of their computers. And so if people, and by and large, it's the middle class who's doing the buying in America. There's only so much stuff. If you get a $100 million a year income, there's only so much stuff you can buy. And, you know, most of the income of the very wealthy is stashed away in investments. So what happens is that jobs are not created because the rich get richer. It's just a lie. It's just a plain old flat-out lie. There's no logical basis to it. And David Stockman said this, and George Herbert Walker Bush said this. This is the classic position of Dwight Eisenhower and Barry Goldwater. I am sharing with you the classic Republican conservative position, which is that the budget should be balanced, and that if you want to have a strong economy, you have to have a strong middle class. And these neocons have completely gone off the edge. They've completely gone off the edge. So, Tony, thanks a lot for calling. We've got four other callers on the line here. Let's get two of them. Noel from Rotunda Beach, California. How are you, Noel?
Thanks for putting me on.
Oh, here.
New to your program, but I heard you on a local, rather left station, KPFK in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to compliment you on your article in Common Dreams News Center, When Democracy Failed, The Warnings of History.
Thank you.
You're very careful just to tell the story and not try to draw any analogies to what's happening today, and that's to be complimented, too.
Well, thank you. I think the analogies are imperfect because there are a lot of differences between today and Germany also. We had earlier on the show, 2 days ago, we had Armin Lehmann on, who wrote Hitler's Last Courier. He was the 16-year-old Hitler youth courier who carried messages for Hitler during the last week of Hitler's life. And he lives up in the West Coast now, up in the Northwest. And he was talking about the parallels that he was seeing between the way democracy failed in Germany and the way it's failing in the United States, and his concerns about that. I think a lot of people are starting to get very nervous. I'm sorry, Noel, go ahead.
That's quite all right. I did hear mention of that gentleman. I just think it's... I got in trouble. I run a little sailing internet station, and I made the mistake of signing a petition, anti-war petition, and I had this little photo of Bush with his hand upraised, and people thought I was making a statement, making a comparison to what happened in Germany, and I lost a lot of listeners, but it just brings me down to what's big in the news this morning, you know, or has been for the last few weeks, all the kind of suggestion of blacklisting entertainment folks, Dixie Chicks and Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon, and yeah. in the lot. And it
Did
just
you see Bruce
like
Springsteen's statement on that?
Excuse me?
Did you see Bruce Springsteen's statement on that? If you go to brucespringsteen.net, I think, is his website, he's got a statement
on I know
on
he's been a little supportive of for Bush, and that's all
no,
I
he
know.
He came right out and he said, it is un-American for people to launch a boycott against the Dixie Chicks. The American tradition requires people to speak their conscience and to speak out, whether it's for or against. And he said it's just absolutely wrong how these people are being persecuted for simply exercising their First Amendment right of free speech. Bruce Springsteen, who's a very conservative guy.
I'm a tape operator on a lot of the film release press junkets, and so I've been with, you know, lots of, I won't drop any names, but very well-known actors, and the press always asks them what they think about, you know, what's going on, and they feel very compelled. All the ones that aren't supportive, just all they can feel like they can say is, hey, I just want the boys to come home safe.
Yeah.
And but you know, it's a shame because we should have learned from the Hollywood blacklist from the McCarthy era. We should have learned. We're just only a few years from documentaries being done and people resolving the fact that they were pushed into that situation by the government and by a very aggressive witch hunt. We're only a few years from what we did to the Japanese in turning them during World War II, and it just seems like we aren't learning from history. And I think your article is a good answer, considering that Bush used that famous quote of, if we don't remember history, we'll repeat it, to pin that on, you know, the Saddam Hussein situation in Iraq. I think it needs to be answered, and I would just encourage everybody out there, you know, to just speak up, be honest, you're Americans, and you have a right to speak, and I don't care if the Patriot Act, some probably 20, 30 years from now, if we succeed, will be a thing of the past, but stand up and speak for freedom. You're independent, free Americans. You were born that way, and just take your right and go ahead and speak out.
Well said, Noel. Thank you very much, Noel from Redondo Beach, California, for calling into the show. I really appreciate your call. Susan is here from Philadelphia. Susan, you're on the air with the Tom Hartman Show.
Hi, Tom. I'm another ADDer.
Oh, okay.
And knew you in the. I knew your work from that area, and I think that there's a kind of a connection between ADD and liberalism. Basically, we don't have the attention span to be hypnotized the way the rest of the population has.
Well, it could be. I think that there's a connection between ADDers and the extreme right as well. I think that, well, who knows?
Well, could be. You might know more about that than I would. But in any event, I read your book on equal protection.
Uh-huh, yes.
And was fascinated by it. And I also saw the article that you wrote about connecting it to the Nike lawsuit.
Yeah. On commonhomes.org.
I was wondering, I mean, in the event that a Supreme Court precedent decision is based on fraudulent information, what recourse do we, the people, have? What happens? What can we do about this?
Well, that's a very good question, Susan. The what's happening right now in response to this, and what Susan has brought up here, and I thank you for the call. I really appreciate your calling in. That what Susan has brought up here is the fact that in 1886, most legal scholars and law students and lawyers and legislators and even the Supreme Court of the United States believe that the Supreme Court ruled that corporations are persons and they have the right, First Amendment right of free speech, Fourth Amendment right of privacy, 14th Amendment right against discrimination. And this has been used by corporations to rise up and take over government. And in fact, the court never ruled that. It was written into the commentary on the ruling by the Supreme Court's clerk, who was a corporate guy. He was the head of a railroad, John Chandler Bancroft Davis. What communities are doing in response to this, the city of Point Arena, California, in 2000 passed a resolution saying, we don't believe corporations are persons. 10 communities in Pennsylvania have passed anti-corporate personhood laws. There's one that's being proposed here in Vermont. On December 9th of last year, the city of Porter Township, Pennsylvania, or the township of Porter Township, passed a law, one of the laws that's in the back of my book, explicitly saying that in their community, corporations don't have constitutional constitutional protections of personhood. Corporations are not persons. And so I think the main way to fight back against this is this corporate takeover of democracy, keeping in mind that up until 1886 and really up until the early 20th century and in some cases even up until the 1950s and 60s, it was a felony in most states. In every state in the Union up until 1886, it was a felony for a corporation to give money to a politician. And up until 1986, when Reagan Bush pulled off the Fairness Doctrine, it was required that if you offer one side of the argument, you have to offer the other side. So, you know, things have gotten strange in the intervening times, and on we go. We'll come back from the break here with Pablo from Santa Fe. We got Jeff from Denver on the line. And we'll be carrying on here in 5 minutes with the Tom Hartman Program.
The following conversation is real. It took place on March 7th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Emergency, this is Stacy. Have you located KM Ranch Road?
Yes, I'm unhurt, but my truck is totaled. Could you call my wife?
After the Highway Patrol is contacted, I will conference you in with your wife.
Okay, thanks.
Sheriff's Office. Yes, this is Stacy with OnStar. I have an accident with airbag deployment located on KM Ranch Road.
When you have OnStar, if your airbag deploys, an advisor receives a signal and calls to see if you need help. If no one answers, we'll locate you by satellite and send for emergency services.
Mr. Fuller, I have your wife on the line. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I totaled the truck, I think.
Okay, babe, I'm coming to get you now.
OnStar is available on the Chevy Trailblazer. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com/Trailblazer.
Mr. Fuller, would you like me to stay on the line with you until your wife arrives?
No, I'll be fine, thanks. You know, OnStar's pretty good stuff, isn't it?
Well, thank you, sir. Please know we're here for you whenever you need us.
OnStar, always there. Always ready.
There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills than Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain. Comparisons based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM9PM. That's right, Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly three-hour bedtime story. MM9PM. Pleasant dreams.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network on Sirius Satellite, Channel 145. We're talking about all sorts of stuff today. It's Friday. We're recapping the week. We're looking at the stories and how they've changed over the week. We're taking calls. The lines are open. We've got two callers on hold here. Just real quickly, before I get to the first one, this from today's Wall Street Journal. Do budget deficits raise long-term interest rates? Their answer, yes. Each additional $100 billion increase in projected annual budget deficits adds about 0.25 percentage point to the yield on 10-year Treasury bonds, which ultimately translates into inflation. So, Pablo from Santa Fe, New Mexico, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Yeah, great show. First time calling you up here.
Great, thank
you. And I guess you've kind of been focusing on economics a little bit here this morning.
Well, just, you know, I started on that rant, and it took a while. I'm willing to talk about anything you want. About 3 minutes here before the top of the hour.
Sort of in that vein, briefly, one thing I've noticed that if you watching the TV or, you know, even reading a newspaper article about economics, a lot of times things will be stated as if they're sort of like physical laws of science, you know, as far as
right.
whether it's debt. And there's a major, major difference, whereas anything in economics is based on human choices and human decisions, and those have nothing to do with the physical laws of gravity or the speed of light.
Spot on. And it's like the weather. There are so many variables that are involved in economics that it's almost impossible to nail it down in one particular one. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Jeff from Denver, if you want to hang on the line, we'll take your call right after the top of the hour. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
The Peter
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Iraq's former Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz has now surrendered to U.S. officials. He's the most senior member so far of Saddam Hussein's regime to be taken into custody by the United States in Iraq. Aziz was often the public face of the former Baghdad government. He traveled the world, even often here in the U.S., for meetings at the United Nations. He was also the only Christian, actually, in Saddam Hussein's inner circle. As we hear now from correspondent Simon Marks, who's in a neighboring Jordan, military insiders are hoping Aziz's surrender will provide them with information now on still missing members of the former Iraqi government.
He is a man extremely close to the Iraqi leadership. It will be fascinating to find out where he has been for the course of the past 3 weeks since he disappeared from view in Baghdad. Fascinating, too, to discover whether he has any information on the whereabouts of Saddam Hussein, his two sons, Uday and Qusay, and other members of the Iraqi leadership who remain on the U.S. wanted list. So this apparent surrender by Tariq Aziz to U.S. forces, a very major acquisition by the United States, giving U.S. officials an opportunity now to answer some of the questions that remain open in Iraq about exactly what happened to the Iraqi leadership and exactly where they may now be located. Simon Marks, Amman.
Iraq's former spy boss, Fariq Hijazi, was also detained at the Syrian border. He's accused of plotting to assassinate the former President Bush in the 1990s. Meanwhile, the current President Bush says North Korean leaders are, in his words, back to the old blackmail game. The president told NBC News, North Korea is proving his case about the threat posed by the spread of weapons of mass destruction.
One of our goals and objectives must be to strengthen the non-proliferation regimes and get the whole world focused on the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction or the materials for weapons of mass destruction, and North Korea is making my case.
U.S., North Korean, and Chinese officials have been meeting this week in Beijing. You can see the president's entire interview tonight on NBC's Dateline, airing at 9 o'clock Eastern.
I may be pregnant, but my period stays away.
I want to know.
With First Response Early Result Pregnancy Test, used as directed, she could get results up to 4 days sooner than other leading brands. And now, results are even clearer with an easy-read result line.
I want to know now.
First Response. Results 4 days sooner.
See doctor as recommended. 52% get results 4 days sooner. 86% 2 days sooner. Use as directed.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
Sales of existing homes down still, but new home sales actually saw a big gain last month. Government figures showing a 7.3% increase in existing home sales in March. Most analysts credit those sales to interest rates among the lowest since the 1960s. The increase was led by especially strong sales in the Northeast and the South. The gross domestic product, meanwhile, grew by only 1.6% in the first 3 months of this year. That's only slightly faster than the 1.4% growth rate recorded in the fourth quarter of last year. The new figures falling well short of the revival in growth most economists had hoped for.
This is the house that Jack built.
Daddy, faster!
The tree house. These are the 12 planks of wood Jack carried. The 200 nails he hammered. The broken ladder he climbed. And this is the back pain and the neck pain Jack had until he tried Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Because after he built the house...
What about the curtains?
Jack had to decorate. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
A report released yesterday by the National Conference of State Legislatures shows most states in the country are still drowning in a sea of red ink. And with many states already having to dip into their financial reserves, big program cuts could be on the way. More on that story from reporter Don Andrews.
The NCSL report shows 27 states are projecting budget deficits when the new fiscal year begins on July 1. Oklahoma State Senator Angela Munson is the head of the NCSL. She's says those deficits total billions of dollars.
Right now, the aggregate shortfall stands at $53.5 billion.
The report shows the imbalance between revenues and spending will likely result in deep program cuts, including cuts in education and prisons. The struggling national economy and increasing cost of health care and homeland security are the main reasons cited for the budget woes. 8 states have already raised some fees or taxes, and 19 others are planning to raise sales taxes, personal income taxes, and or taxes on cigarettes and liquor to balance their books. I'm Don Andrews.
And I'm Corey Morris, and you're listening to IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top 3 favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number 1 private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman radio program. On the IE America Radio Network, we're broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, from coast to coast and from the Arctic to the equator on the Sirius satellite, Sirius Channel 145, and streaming live on the web all across the world. I got an email this morning from listeners in Scotland. Good morning, folks. I guess it's good evening in Scotland. And yesterday from somebody in London, and on it goes. Boy, we've had calls from Alaska and all over. The show is streaming from ieamericaradio.com. You'll find a link to that from tomhartman.com. Also at tomhartman.com, you'll find a link to our radio show page. And on there's a link to a message board where you can leave messages, and I'll read them on the air if you'd like. And there's also a link to a chat room where you can go in and while I'm live on the air, if you want to just say something in that chat room, you can try it out. Now, this is something new that we've just put up on the website. It's a Java chat applet, and I don't know how well it's going to work. So, you know, feel free to try it out, and we'll see. It's a big experiment here. So back on the program, we have Jeff in Colorado on the line. Jeff, you've called into 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, as a new listener, too, it's really refreshing to hear a show where
actual discussion, not argument.
Yeah, and thank you, Jeff.
I also greatly appreciate you don't interrupt people, as most, to me, quote, talk show hosts seem to love their own voice more than anything. And it's nice to hear information rather than just opinions. But anyway, the thing I was calling about was the whole thing of the economy. It's been real bizarre for me to watch over the years, to hear this thing, you know, Republicans good for business, Democrats bad. In that, you know, every Republican administration in the past 30 years, the deficits have gone up and the government has gotten larger.
Well, in fact, if you pardon me for interrupting you, Jeff, after you congratulated me for not doing so, but I'm one of those short attention span people. I'll lose it if I don't say it. The very interesting story that I saw either in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, I don't recall which, just before the 2000 election, that charted the stock market and Republican versus Democrat administrations from the 1880s up until 2000. And during every Republican administration, the stock market had gone down. And during every Democratic administration, the stock market had gone up.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not something that you'll find widely publicized in your mainstream corporate media, but there it was.
I'm trying to put everything together on a website I have to put it all in one nice picture, objective picture, just so people can decide. You know, it's pretty clear once you see these things.
Yeah.
And for me, I've always just said, hey, Republicans don't want to spend any less than Democrats. They just want to spend it in other areas.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's really straightforward. It's real simple. Believing the Republicans are better for business is like believing a public works project will stay within budget. It rarely happens.
Yes.
You know, and it's bizarre to watch that people keep on falling for this. But we live in a society where people, especially what I am being wary of labels, but those that are more conservative, tend to want answers, and they don't want challenges to any answer. They want things to be comfortable. And that's why they've fallen for, you know, the dramatically different excuses, you know, the changing excuses for this recent war the present war we're in. And, it's nice to hear in this, you know, this situation, you seem to be able to handle a situation, just listen to someone, and then, you know, synthesize something from what they've actually said rather than just having to have your view supported. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for calling Jeff from Colorado. Jeff had called 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937 to be on the air, and I really appreciate your call there. One of the things that you bring up is so critical. I think that one of the issues that we have in radio right now, and this is, you know, the FCC is preparing to revise their regulations about who can control what. And right now there are limits. One corporation can't own radio stations that reach more than 35% of the entire United States. And so there's a very large corporation that's challenging that, pushing against that. And there's a law that says you can't own the radio stations, the television stations, the newspaper, the cable channels, all in one community. And there are corporations challenging that. And those folks who are the voices of these large corporate powers who are seeking to create a new feudal aristocracy in the United States. And I'd say it goes a little beyond seeking to a large extent they already have. And this corporate aristocracy is really a reinvention of an ancient form of government called feudalism. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, that historically humans have been ruled by one of three forms of government, by either feudal lords, that is, ruled by the rich, by warlord kings, kings who maintain their power by keeping people in constant agitation and by threat of violence, and maintaining wars as a way of distracting people from the very real needs of human communities. And interestingly, James Madison said that the war is, you know, that the war-making powers of the president, when he was talking about writing the Constitution, and he said that they had limited the war-making powers of the president because war was the worst of all the tools that have historically been used by tyrants to subvert democracy. And that's why only Congress can declare war in the United States. I got a letter, in fact, yesterday from Jim Jeffords saying that, in his opinion, Congress had authorized the Iraqi invasion. And so, you know, and that's the appropriate thing, that Congress has to make those decisions. In any case, the third historic group are the theocrats, the popes, you know, the crusades and things like that. And with American democracy, it was a whole brand new idea. It was, how about we have we the people ruling us, and our government comes from us. So now you have a situation where there's a few very well-funded right-wing think tanks, and one of them issues daily talking points for radio talk show hosts. And you will find these, along with one of our major political parties, also the Republican National Committee, also is issuing regular talking points for talk show hosts. And so if you know where to look on the Internet, you can actually know every day in advance what all the right-wing talk show hosts are going to be talking about, because they're dancing to that tune. And I don't subscribe to any let me tell you what to talk about services. So we're talking about what's in the news, what's going on in the United States, and trying to paint a broad brush picture. And as I said earlier, I'm very willing. In fact, I'm enthusiastic to hear from people who disagree with me. I'd like to hear the other side and to hear your thoughts, and you know, maybe we can get a good discussion going. The number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. The lines are open if anybody would like to call. Here's an interesting quote from John Adams. He wrote this in Thoughts on Government in 1776. He said, "Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for the profit, honor, or private interest of any one man, family, or class of men." And we find now a situation where 100% of the contractors who have been invited into this private club — Molly Ivins wrote a great column about this that was on commondreams.org yesterday — 100% of the people who have been invited into this very small club of people being asked to bid on reconstruction of Iraq were those corporations that had massively donated to the Republican Party, and specifically to the presidential candidacy of George W. Bush, largely to the exclusion of Democrats, or overwhelmingly greater than Democrats. A little bit of good news. I also believe in giving credit where credit is due. And, you know, there have been corporate efforts at greenwashing. I wrote about this in Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, a book I wrote a couple of years ago, about 5 years ago, that there was this energy fair down in Boston, and there were companies there promoting green energy, and which included nuclear reactors, nuclear companies, and there was even one company that was promoting what they call pumped hydro, where you pump water up into a reservoir and then let it drain back out, and it generates electricity. And of course, the pump that pumps it up is powered by electricity that comes from nuclear or from coal or from oil. So it's really kind of fake green power, but they were proposing to sell it to people as green power, and asking people to pay an extra few cents per kilowatt as a green premium. And a lot of people are willing to do that, and so there are these companies that are willing to kind of take advantage of them, because I think in their heart most people really are concerned about the environment in the future. They really figure that we don't leave this world to our children. We borrow it from them. And they will hold us accountable, and our grandchildren and future generations, for how we held in how we behaved with this resource that we are holding for them, that we are borrowing from them. So anyhow, in the credit where credit is due department here on the Tom Hartman program, 1-800-TALK-YES. IBM and U.S. Gen New England, which owns six small hydro dams in Vermont, won recognition by the EPA as part of the Earth Day celebration. They acknowledged 33 companies that had reduced solid waste generation by a total of 800,000 pounds, hazardous waste by 960,000 pounds, and water use by more than 27 million gallons. This was in the Burlington Free Press, Burlington, Vermont here, newspaper today. For example, IBM has reduced its energy use by about 7% each year for the past 12 years. It saved enough electricity to power more than 2,700 homes for 1 year in 2002. So, you know, good on you, IBM, as they say in Australia. I love that phrase, good on you. It is important, I think, for us to acknowledge these things. I used to live in Germany back in the 86, 87. My family, Louise and I and our kids, we lived in Germany. And in fact, the last time I was there was about 4 weeks ago. And they have all of these extraordinary tax incentives to businesses and individuals that if you build a building, as an architect or as a corporation, if you build a building that is energy, that saves energy, you actually get, you know, tax incentives. And Jimmy Carter put these things into place. Ronald Reagan repealed them. Reagan's first official act of office under the Reagan-Bush administration was to eliminate the solar collectors, to take them off the roof of the White House. Bill Clinton put them back up, and George W.'s first official act of office was to take them back down again. So we want to promote this kind of behavior that that IBM has been doing. It's saving the natural resources of the world and of America. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this break.
The following conversation is real. It took place on March 11th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Michael. How may I help you?
Hi. My wife just called and said the car is running and the baby is inside. I was just hoping that you guys could unlock.
Okay, no problem, sir. Home phone number, area code first.
281.
When you have OnStar, an advisor can send a signal to unlock your doors, even if you're 1,000 miles away.
Do you know if it's parked in the open?
I do not know. I've got my wife in my conference room.
Okay,
hello?
Jim?
All right. Is the vehicle parked in the open?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. How old is the baby inside?
He's 9 months.
OnStar is available on the Chevy Trailblazer. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com/Trailblazer.
I am showing the vehicles unlocked if you'd like to check.
Yay! You're the best. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And what's your name, sir?
My name is Michael.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, and I'm glad.
You're a lifesaver.
Well, we appreciate having you all as our subscribers.
So do we after today.
OnStar, always there, always ready.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Music there. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're broadcasting here from the People's Republic of Vermont, high up in the Green Mountains of Vermont, and broadcasting from coast to coast. If you'd like to call into the program, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-9537. And Dartman had just come into our chat room at tomhartman.com and just left a message saying, hey, I found your show and I really liked it. And thank you, Dartman, for leaving the message. And I appreciate it much. We'll be going through the messages on the message board that anybody might leave. The chat room and the message board are two separate areas. We've got a regular message board where you can just post a message, and I can read it, but not while I'm on the air. I'll read them, you know, later, and then on Monday, if there's any messages that people want me to read on the air or questions that they'd like me to answer on the air, I'd be glad to do that. And that's at tomhartman.com. The actual spelling is T-H-O-M and then Hartman with two N's. But if you misspell it as Tom, T-O-M and Hartman with one, it'll still work. So however you spell it, it should get us there. So we're back to recapping our week and looking at the things that have changed. We were talking about voting machines earlier in the week, and in today's newspaper here in Vermont, there was an interesting story, and I'm sure that newspapers all over the country, state newspapers, local newspapers, are running local stories that are very similar to this one. This one says, many Vermonters who are accustomed to voting for president by marking a paper, folding it, and pushing it through a slit in an old wooden box are in for a change. At the 2000 gubernatorial and presidential elections, voters will use sleek new voting machines. And, they're voting machines. They're actually computers that are configured to look like voting machines and behave like voting machines. I mean, they are voting machines, but they're computerized, they're computer-controlled. These changes will likely be in place by the time Vermont next votes for governor and a president, thanks to a new federal law. The Federal Help America Vote Act creates a nationwide uniform system of voter registration, vote counting, and ballot clerk education so election results are as accurate as possible. Our Secretary of State here, Deborah, must comply with the federal law. She said, quote, the Help America Vote Act creates some pretty significant mandates to change how we run elections here in Vermont. The rules require us to make some pretty costly changes to our infrastructure. And then the article goes on to say the states are generally required to comply with the law by January 1st. They're putting in voting machines that come from private corporations who claim that because they are persons, according to the Supreme Court, they don't have to give governments, that is, the representatives of we the people, that is, you and me. You know, you could argue in the Soviet Union the government was not the people. And maybe drowning that government in a bathtub like the conservatives say they want to do to the American government was a good idea. But in the United States of America, our idea is that the government is us. Government is we the people. And so the, hey, let's destroy America crowd, I think they've got it all wrong. I mean, you know, that's what you do in a tyrannical government. But in a democracy, in a democratic republic, a constitutional democratic republic, no. So anyhow, these corporations that are running the voting machines, they're saying, nope, you can't look at our source code. Sorry. We're people. We have rights of privacy. A very strange situation. Following up on the Nike case here, it turns out that when Nike versus Caskey, Caskey versus Nike case was argued before the Supreme Court Wednesday, and we talked with Jeff Milchen from ReclaimDemocracy.org on Tuesday about this. When it was argued before the Supreme Court on Wednesday, the administration weighed in, the Bush administration weighed in and said that they were on the side of Nike, that they felt that corporations should have the right to lie to consumers. And this just goes beyond the pale, in my opinion. Anyhow, this is the Tom Hartman Program on IE America Radio. We'll be back right after this break.
This May, Aleve invites you to join us in the fight against arthritis, the country's number one cause of disability. That's when Aleve will partner with the Arthritis Foundation to sponsor the annual Arthritis Walk. When you join the walk, you'll help Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation in their efforts to control, prevent, and cure this crippling disease that affects one in every three Americans. For more on the Arthritis Walk and Aleve's all-day arthritis relief, go to Aleve.com and join the team to fight arthritis. Use Aleve as directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The Association of Professional Flight Attendants plans to hold a third vote on $340 million worth of wage and benefit concessions to American Airlines. The first vote held last week saw the flight attendants reject the plan. A second vote a day later approved the give-back package. But when American unveiled the bonus and pension protection plan for its executives after its unions had agreed to cuts, APFA President John Ward shed the air of diplomacy. In a message to the flight attendants, Ward says another vote is contentious, but Americans' duplicity in asking for sacrifices from its workers on one hand while fattening management on the other is beyond the bounds of decency.
Management would love nothing more than to bust this union. Let's not permit ourselves to do it for them.
Over the weekend, American CEO Don Carty canceled the planned executive bonuses and sent a letter of apology to the unions. No word on when this third vote will be scheduled. The airline could file for bankruptcy at any time, regardless of what the flight attendants do.
The McDonald's Corporation takes over as lead concessionaire at a $200 million terminal opening this week at the Bradley International Airport in Hartford, Connecticut. And the fast food giant is eager to shake loose of the union representing workers at the old terminal. A state law passed last year obliges Mickey D's managers to hire employees of the previous concessionaire for at least 90 days, but a loophole would allow McDonald's to bypass the rule. A bill before the state Senate would shore up the loophole and give senior workers first crack at jobs in the new food court, but that's apparently too much for McDonald's to swallow. The company has hinted it may cancel its contract with the airport if the law is passed. Meanwhile, about 100 workers with as much as 30 years on the job could well be out of work, and if they are rehired, it'll be to a non-union position with significantly lower wages and benefits.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as take your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Don't worry about
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. On today's Burlington Free Press, Commerce Secretary Donald Evans on Thursday urged the FCC to avoid delaying a vote on an overhaul of rules governing ownership of newspapers, television, and radio stations. We have the administration pushing for this thing to go through. Of course, there's substantial lobbying going on here. Here's another interesting thing in the news. By the way, if you'd like to call the program, the number, and be on the air and talk about any of this stuff, or it's Friday, we can talk about any topic. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number for the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 1-800-825-5937. So, GOP completes draft of its bill on industrial security. See, after 9/11, the United States government looked around and they said, where do we have risks? Where are there places that terrorists could attack that represent a potential threat? Of course, the first that they looked at was airports. And they said, and we all know what they did there. At least anybody who's been on an airplane recently, it's, you know, the security is nothing short of draconian. But then they're starting to look at ports. Although there hasn't been much money designated for that, they're asking whenever the terror alert goes up, you know, it goes up to orange or above, they require that states and townships start watching particular places, you know, bridges and you know, any place that might be a potential. And, of course, this is costing a lot of money. This is adding to the burden of the states, because this is what's called an unfunded mandate. That is, the federal government says to a town or to a state, you've got to do this, but they don't give them any money to do it. And so this is part of the problem. I mean, this is not the problem that 34 or 38 states now are virtually facing bankruptcy as a result of this. Largely that's coming about as a combination of these huge tax cuts that have already happened, last year's tax cuts. Here in Vermont, for example, our state income tax is tied to the federal tax. So tax cuts happen, the state's revenues shrink. And so, you know, that's part of the problem. Part of the problem, of course, is that the economy has gone south ever since about 2000, actually. But anyhow, 19 months after September 11th attack, congressional Republicans, this is reading from today's New York Times, congressional Republicans have prepared a long-awaited proposal that requires thousands of chemical sites to assess their vulnerability and response plans to terrorist attacks. Now, that sounds very reasonable. It sounds, in fact, very, very reasonable. However, the EPA looked at 15,000 chemical plants, refineries, and places where large quantities of hazardous materials are stored, or explosives, or flammable materials. And, quote, the agency estimates there are 123 sites where toxic gases or chemicals released in a terrorist attack would kill or injure more than 1 million people. It's 123 places in America, according to the EPA, where if a terrorist blew up a tank or set off a bomb or whatever, over 1 million people would immediately die. And in addition to that, there are 700 other sites where an attack would kill or injure 100,000 people or more. And so immediately after 9/11, the EPA looked at these things and the government looked at these things, and they said to the chemical industry, one of the industries that is one of the largest donors, special interest groups, to congressional and senatorial campaigns, to this administration certainly, to Democrats and Republicans. These people pass out their cash right across the board. I mean, it's very unfortunate. Ever since the 1978 Boston versus Bilotti Supreme Court case, in which the court ruled that corporations are persons and entitled to give money to candidates because it's free speech, this has been going on. So anyhow, the administration looked at this, the EPA looked at this, and they said to the industry, hey, we've got 123 sites here where over 1 million people will die if a terrorist just, you know, sets off a bomb there and breaches or ruptures some tank of gas or chemicals or whatever. And so they said to industry, you got to do something about this. You got to clean it up. You've got to protect it. You've got to put guards out. You got to put, you know, razor wire. Right? You do something. You've got to do something about this. And we're going to monitor it and make sure that you do something about it. Well, it sounded like a good idea. In fact, the bill to make this happen passed, as I recall, unanimously. It's not mentioned here. Yeah, I don't have it. Anyway, there was a story about it yesterday. They talked about the initial legislation. Yeah, it passed out of committee unanimously. But then the lobbying began. And as soon as the lobbying began, the chemical industry came in and said, we don't think so. This is going to cost us money. We don't want to do this. George Bush changed all environmental regulations, or most of the environmental regulations, in the state of Texas, which has led Texas to become one of the most polluted states in the nation, and Dallas and Houston having some of the worst air in the United States. Make the controls voluntary. Let us figure out our own way to deal with this. And you just trust us that we'll do it. We'll do it in a very cost-effective way, and we'll take care of it, and don't worry about it. And so now this initial legislation, which was supported by both Republicans and Democrats, that would require, that would mandate, that would force industries to protect these 123 sites where over a million people would die if a terrorist attacked one of these sites, and the additional 700 sites where over 100,000 people would die if terrorists attacked them. This initial legislation that passed out of committee unanimously is under attack by the lobbyists for the industry, and now we get a new bill that the Republican administration has put forth today. And saying, well, let's not mandate that. Let's just make it voluntary. And John Corzine, Senator John Corzine of New Jersey, who is on the committee. Yeah, here. Senator Corzine's proposal passed unanimously in the committee last July, but was stymied in the Senate floor in the face of intensive lobbying from the chemical, petroleum, and agricultural industries. I'm quoting from the New York Times. The Republican proposal dismayed environmentalists and Democrats. Quote, it's about as watered down a version of chemical plant safety as you can ever imagine, Mr. Corzine said. Senator Corzine said. The special interests are trumping the public interest. And he goes on to add, the industry has resisted any attempt at having any of the governmental agencies look at or give advice with regard to inherent safer technologies. So this is what happens when we end up with a system where the corporations have the power to be the tail that wags the dog. I got some interesting new information here on depleted uranium, too, that I want to get to. But first, we've got David, who has called in to 1-800-TALK-YES. He's in San Francisco, California. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, the first time I've noticed your show. It's good to hear getting some more coverage. Hey,
well, thank you.
What you've been talking about, I used to live in Colorado, and in the early 80s, the general activist community had finally put enough pressure on the EPA to pretty much mandate that the communities would have the ability to learn about hazardous waste in their neighborhood. And it wasn't really limited to the activist community that had started this. A lot of the firefighters and police departments were, when they'd go into an emergency situation, they wouldn't know if, say, for example, the firefighters walking into a building that was filled with hazardous waste. And
right.
So they needed to know whether or not they were going to go into an area that was going to put them at risk, especially,
absolutely.
You know, give them cancer and, you know, fairly short time.
Or so, kill them and blow up or something. Yeah.
Well, that's right. But, you know, say, for example, if a company was dealing with benzene certain types of chemicals can really pretty much guarantee that you're going to get cancer within a fairly short amount of time.
Right, and there are a lot of sites that have radioactive things as well.
That's right. And so the activist community helped stir up a mandate that the public would be able to, and especially these emergency workers, would be able to learn about these. They would have these CD-ROMs that they could look at, and before they get into it, they could carry them in the truck, so to speak, look at them on a screen, and then know whether to wear certain types of hazmat material. Well, what you're talking about has essentially been completely rescinded by 911. And in the name of terrorism, you know, terrorists can learn about hazardous waste in your neighborhood and use these as a weapon, you know, against America. Well, it's a greater weapon to America to have this stuff and have the public not know about it. You know, if we're going to have emergency workers, it's bad enough that, that Bush essentially called up a draft of all of the National Guard. And the National Guard has made up a great deal of the police and fire foes to DU, and now they're going to come back to America with various kinds of hazardous waste and add it to the mix. Now they're going to come back to an America that does not give them the right to learn about the hazardous waste that they're going to get exposed to. So these
Not only that, the benefits for veterans are being cut, and the National Guard was originally designed to guard the nation, not to be a reserve force for the Army.
Well, that's right as well. And yeah, there are so many layers of crimes that Bush has been able to commit under the name of this 911 scam. So it's, you know, America has been greatly weakened by the Bush, you know, crime family, and the whole idea that the hazardous waste. I used to work on the local committee that would deal with the making certain that there was information passed on to the emergency workers, and now that's, you know, entirely been tossed in the dump. Hypothetically, all of those old CD-ROMs are supposed to be delivered back to the Homeland Security, where they're going to be destroyed, and all of the midnight dumping and hazardous wastes across America are going to proliferate, because God knows, you know, these corporations are so loyal and patriotic that they would never, you know, dump hazardous wastes in your river, dump it in some backfield somewhere. So, yeah, we've got to really mandate that a true investigation of 911 happens, so that we can learn that the Bush administration did this, and then we can get back to normalcy and be able to have some recognition that these corporations are looting America and poisoning it as well. So.
All right.
Hey, well,
thank you, David.
Show. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. I'm not personally quite ready to just point the finger at the Bush administration. There are certainly enablers on both sides, and this is a we have, in my opinion, a systemic problem here, and that is that people across the United States have lost touch with what democracy means. We're not teaching civics in our schools. Our children and our young people, and even many people of my generation, I'm 52, many people of my age don't remember, you know, how this country was formed, what the ideals were, what does a Republican democracy mean? You know, what were the ideas of the Constitution? And as a consequence of that, this opens up space for exploitation by pretty much anybody of any party. I mean, I'm not personally very happy with many of the things the Bush administration is doing, but I acknowledge your comments. The government here, this is from today's Boston Globe, the government's, apropos to what David was just talking about from San Francisco there, David, by the way, had called the Tom Hartman program at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. This is the Boston Globe. The government's power to enforce food safety laws is in doubt because of recent lawsuits challenging its efforts to close dirty meat plants. The panel cited two lawsuits filed after Agriculture Department inspectors decided to close plants where they found harmful bacteria. Nebraska Beef Limited sued the department in January for trying to shut down its Omaha plant for unsanitary conditions. And a judge sided with the company and issued a temporary restraining order against the department. This is one of the reasons why it's so important to protect our, you know, who's being appointed to our judgeships. A similar lawsuit was filed in 2000 by Supreme Beef, Inc. A federal judge blocked the department from closing the company's Dallas beef plant after it flunked a series of salmonella tests in 1999. On to depleted uranium. In this week's New Scientist, the 19 April 2003 issue of New Scientist, which is the premier scientific publication that comes out of the United Kingdom, depleted uranium casts a shadow over peace in Iraq. And they point out, this is, you know, all the news is talking about how the UN wants to send Hans Blix back into Iraq to look for weapons of mass destruction. What you probably haven't heard on the news, and you certainly won't hear on Fox News, is that the UN wants to send inspectors into looking for something else. You'll find out about it as though, quote, last week the UN Environmental Program, UNEP, announced it wants to send a scientific team into Iraq as soon as possible to examine the effects of depleted uranium. They go on to say DU is both radioactive and toxic. The idea that chemical and radiological damage are reinforcing each other is plausible and gaining momentum. They point out that DU is identical to natural uranium, although most of the 235 is radioactive than natural uranium. That means it contains 60, and they say that it's radiological and toxic, combining in subtle, unforeseen ways, making it more carcinogenic than it was thought. Uranium is what's called genotoxic. It attacks DNA and switches it around, changes the way that DNA controls reproduction of it of itself, and that, of course, is what leads to cancer. They say the fear is that the resulting abnormality, abnormally high activity in cells, could be a precursor to tumor growth. So new research from the United Kingdom, new concerns, and the UN saying they want to go in and check this out because we dumped hundreds of tons of depleted uranium in Iraq in this last war. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Daddy, read me a story.
Sure thing, kiddo. Just let me turn on this light. Huh, the TV. That's weird. Vacuum.
Daddy, I'm scared.
Don't be scared, Pumpkin. Just a little rewiring mix-up is all. Jumping chimneys, get down!
Need a little rewiring help? Then come into Ace. We've seen it all and we know how to fix it. It's why people have been counting on us for products and advice for more than 75 years. Ace, the helpful place.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool It Fat cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel cools on contact. Uses directed.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad. Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right, Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly 3-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. It's about 5 minutes before the top of the hour in our last segment here. We've been talking about all sorts of things, covering from economics to depleted uranium, toxic waste. We have in our chat room at tomhartman.com, Kevin D. has dropped in. He says, wanted to let you know that I'm enjoying the show. And M. Hansen came in. He said, I'm working and listening over the internet. So, welcome to both of you. And we have also a message board there where people can post messages. And if you want, I'll read them on the air as the week goes on, assuming that they're appropriate for that. Another interesting story in the paper today is we're just kind of covering all the what's in the news and what does it mean. What's the significance of this stuff for democracy? My concern and the ultimate issue that we always bring things back to, the eternal question of the Tom Hartman Program, is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing something else? Like, for example, corporatism, what Mussolini defined as the merging of state and corporate interests. He later changed the name of that to fascism, but... here we are. 60 manatees killed by a red tide in Florida. There's an article about this area of manatee deaths, and a red tide algae bloom has killed 60 manatees. This is significant because there's only about 3,000 in the whole state. So I can't do the math that fast. I think that's 2%, but anyhow, a very small percentage, but nonetheless a significant one. What is this red tide thing? Well, it turns out that there's a fascinating book that titled "And the Rivers Turn to Blood," and the author's name is Rodney something. I can't remember the last name. I read this about 4 years ago when it first came out, and this book is about red tide, how they discovered it. This was something that had really never been seen before, and it just started appearing in Virginia and Maryland about a decade ago. And it causes profound neurological damage. It paralyzes people, as well as manatees, anything that's in it. Turns out it's the product of wastewater being dumped by factory farms. Factory farming is producing red tide, and on it goes. So anyhow, we'll see you on Monday. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Special thanks to Brian for running the board today and Shar through the rest of the week, John and Steve for production work. Thanks to my dad for his suggestions on the show, to Ron and Suzanne for keeping the network going, and thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next week, next Monday, at noon Eastern Time on the Tom Hartman Radio Program.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.